All right. So the morning instructions and the afternoon instructions will essentially be the same structure. So I'll talk for a little while about really technique of practice, what we're going to do meditatively, how we're going to practice meditation, cultivation of awareness, kind of on a moment-to-moment experience. And so I'll offer some instructions on that, and then we'll actually do a guided practice so you have something to take with you into the rest of the morning. And then the afternoon 2 o'clock session will be very similar, but we'll just build upon what we've done in the morning. And then the afternoon session, there will be a period of time for questions and answers. So if you have some specific questions about practice, then we have some time for that. So what we want to try to do really at the beginning of meditation practice and really throughout is developing some very basic skills that support things like mindfulness, awareness, and really things that do support a attitude of not causing harm, an attitude of kindness and friendliness. And this really can become the baseline for practice, or really the word we would use is an anchor. So one of the things that we establish, and I'm sure many of you have worked in this capacity to some degree, is we have to place our attention somewhere. And so when we really work with mindfulness practice, or really just a cultivation of awareness, what we want to try to do is be able to establish some degree of concentration or focus. And how you do that is you have, you know, you have an object that you pay attention to. So you have your breathing, which is what we'll spend some time with today. That's probably the most common meditation object. Breathing, the body, sensations. And then we have this awareness, which is sort of the knowing of that object. So we have breathing, knowing that I'm breathing. Breathing in, knowing that I'm breathing. Breathing out, knowing that I'm breathing. And just kind of following that process all the way down. And what that does is it allows the mind to be more collected and more present and more here. And actually what happens on the other side of that focused concentration is as the mind stays with one object, all this awareness starts to gain momentum in our experience. And so we don't have that tendency so much to get pulled out into our plans and our memories and our judgments and all of that thinking too much about everything all of the time. So we have to hearken the mind and kind of get ourselves on some specific object so we can gain some momentum of awareness, so that way we can practice something like mindfulness, which would be more of an open awareness. But we have to have some degree of focus and concentration if we're going to be able to do that. And there's a lot of ways that you can do that. And I like to be, without confusing people, I do prefer to be fairly liberal in how I teach that, because this is not a one-size-fits-all type of practice. And so that can make it very challenging. So in terms of object, there is the most obvious object, and that's mindfulness of breathing, bringing your attention to the direct experience of breathing in, the process of breathing in, not just kind of standing at the sideline of the present moment and eyeballing at the breath, going, yeah, it's still there. I'm going to make some plans and think about some stuff and get some stuff done while I'm on this retreat, and I'm going to kind of be clocking the breath from the sideline. And so we have breathing in the body really can be used as a foundational practice. And it's the breathing body. And so we can really try to not just be eyeballing the breath from the sideline, but really actually connect and sustain our attention into the full length of the in-breath. Breathing in, breathing out. Right. And that creates a type of pace or a type of rhythm. And so the body, as we know, it moves very, very slow. In and out breathing is a pretty slow process, which is going to require a tremendous amount of patience on your part. It's the mind, it's the thinking, it's that goes a million miles an hour. And so one of the things that makes it hard is as we have this object of the breath and the knowing of the breath, is that it does kind of create a type of stress or a type of tension, because we find that actually we have a hard time holding that. And actually, Buddhist concentration, if I can say that term, is a relaxed concentration. And so for to be present, to be with experience, we have to have a type of concentration and a focus that is relaxed or at ease. But what happens for a lot of people, and happened for me for many years, is my concentration would lead me to feeling activated. It would be concentration and activation because I would get too much striving and too much really trying to grabbing at the breath. And then I would get into this thing, what I call grabbing and dropping, where we kind of grab the breath and then drop it. And just kind of grab the in-breath and drop the out-breath. And we get this kind of hastiness. And we can become frustrated with that. So there's this other way that we can also include. So that would be like the technique of just paying attention to the object, sustaining attention on that object, and practicing in that way. Always good to do that. Very, very helpful. But then what happens is we can see that we're oftentimes being colored, or there's a filter of an attitude, the way that we're looking at our breathing. So we might find that we have this knowing and this object of the breath, is that there's a kind of maybe an aversion in the mind, or there's a kind of like maybe boredom or a kind of resistance to that quality. Or there's a craving, a greed in the mind, a kind of wanting something more interesting to pay attention to. I don't really want to be with my breathing. I want to do something else. What's the better thing, the better place to be? And so we can start to use that to become an object. So then we have the object of the breath, the knowing of that breath, and then we notice, oh, there's aversion in my mind. And when there's aversion in my mind, whether I'm eating food or doing walking meditation or walking around, my mind is looking through this windshield of looking, I'm seeing all of the unpleasant, disagreeable qualities of everything in my awareness. It's like, oh, that's not good, and this isn't good. We don't even know that. We're seeing things that way. So what we want to try to do with a metta type of practice is we can also use metta as an anchor, where you can use this sense of, may I be at ease with. And instead of being colored by this filter of aversion or greed or wanting or not wanting, we actually can install a type of filter that's looking at experience with a more of a kind, friendly, benevolent attitude. So when we learn these basic techniques, we do have the way we can bring our attention to a particular object to sustain awareness. But we can also, and simultaneously, bring an attitude to the way that we're practicing. So there's the object and there's the attitude, there's the object and there's the attitude. And one thing that I like to do is if I notice I'm struggling with the object, I'll make just a gentle switch into the attitude. It's like, oh, what's the attitude here? Well, the attitude is striving or pushing away or resistance. And then I can kind of, and I will just use this very basic phrase this morning, may I be at ease. May I be at ease with my mind, may I be cooperative with my mind as I'm trying to train in this way and developing this kind of focused attention, this presence. You know, so trying to be present or trying to be here. It's really hard to be here. And then when we kind of cool down or come back to some degree of ease and cooperation, then we can kind of pick that object back up. So in a sitting practice, you might be with four or five in-breaths. You might notice the system gets tight or you get some resistance, some frustration, and then you might switch and go, okay, may I be at ease? It's okay. Start over. And then you can pick the breath back up until it becomes difficult again. And so you can kind of switch back and forth between monitoring the object or developing concentration on the object. And then when it feels like it's too challenging or too difficult, you can kind of downshift or lean back into this cooperative experience, this sense of ease. So this is kind of the basis of what we would call metta vipassana. So there's a way in which we're working by cultivating concentration on an object and we're keeping some degree of awareness and monitoring on the attitude that we're practicing with. So there's a way you can kind of develop this nice pace, this attitude, the object, the attitude, the object, the attitude, the object. And they're both fine. They're both concentration practices. It doesn't really matter how one develops concentration. It's just important that we kind of learn how to do that. So there's a way you can be a little bit more loose or a little bit more liberal in this shift back and forth. And so when we just kind of work with the body or with present time awareness, we want to just kind of start to consider, what is it that I can be with right now? And we want to just try to learn in this early stages of practice to be with something, anything other than thinking. So to some degree, there's this kind of breaking addiction to thinking too much about everything all the time. And so that's where we disintegrate. That's where we lose our sense of presence, is when we kind of, our attention gets pulled and absorbed into the abstract, into creating other scenarios, different places to be, a better thing to do, a better person to become. All that way we kind of cut off from the direct experience and we get pulled into that mental proliferation experience. So we have to pay attention to things other than that, so that way we can stay out of that experience. So it's just a sense of, what can I be with right now? So you might find that you can be with things like your breathing. That might be something that you can be with. You might have a capacity to be with that. You might use gravity. You can be with the presence of the body, the energy, the global awareness of a body that's sitting. You might even be able to be with something as simple as temperature. Like, oh, my body feels pretty, not too warm, not too cool, pretty agreeable right now. So I can feel the air on my skin, the clothes. I can be with that. Sound, I can be with sound. Can I be with sound? These are all foundational practices. The tendency is to overprivilege breathing as sort of being the primary practice, but that's not necessarily the case. You can be with a wide range of present time experience, sound, sensation, gravity, temperature, breath, global body. There's a lot actually going on that will help you. And if you focus your attention on something that's easier to be with, then the concentration will build. It will build with a better quality of momentum. And we don't get that kind of myopic feeling that people can get if they get too focused in trying to pick out an object that's maybe not so easy to be with. And then that can lead to that kind of activation. And so there's just that very simple analysis of, what is it that I can be with right now? What can I sit with? What's my capacity to be with this experience? And also, what can I come back to? So we sit here, we kind of track attention, attitude, present time, awareness. I'm here, I'm okay. I'm here, I'm okay. It's okay to be here. This is an okay place to be. Sure, there's someplace better I could probably be, but we're not going to play that game right now. Just be here, this is good enough. And then when the mind wanders and you find that you'll get lost in your plans and your abstract thinking, which is going to happen thousands of times, you recognize that and then you just come back to something that's easy to come back to. Coming back to the out-breath, there's a sense of letting go. Coming back to the just global sensations of the body. Coming back to metta. Coming back to, may I be, that's okay. I was just had a little thinking there for a little bit. It goes 6 minutes, no big deal. Oh well. Right? A kind of that soft sense of forgiveness of like, oh well, you know, that's past now. And coming back to a sense of a quality of an attitude of practice. So there's a lot of different ways in which we can be in this experience that is conducive to the continuity of awareness, which is really what we want over the long term, is a sense of awareness, a continuity of awareness, of mindfulness that sustains. We don't just get these glimmer moments of it, but it starts to compound and it starts to gain its momentum. And that's how it gains its momentum organically, is through focusing, being with very simple aspects of our experience, and also, very importantly, as important, the attitude of that practice, the attitude that we're coming back to, and we're coming back to something. So what is it that we come back to? And then this third aspect, so there's really, what is it that I can be with in this moment? And just looking around your kind of environment, your psycho-emotional, physical environment of like, oh, I can, okay, my temperature's good, I'm breathing, I'm here. I'm here and it's okay to be here. I'm here and it's okay to be here. Sustaining that objectivity and that kind of ease. And then as we find that we get beat up a little bit by the mind, or we get pulled into a wide range of distractions, emotional distractions, psychological distractions, the past, the future, the to-do, what's the better thing to get, to become, to have, to hold, craving, fear. And then we ask this, well, what is it that I can let go of right now? What can I turn my attention away from? And for now, maybe for the whole day, we're really just trying to turn our attention away from that kind of temple up, abstract, future, past, planning, creating better, imagination, cutting off, as we cut off. And we're not present and we're not okay. And we try to create some better experience to have. But you can't do that. I mean, you can try. Oh boy, you can try. But you can't do it. So when we try to have this kind of present time, kind, embodied awareness, you can do that. You can be, the mind can be in the body. The body can't go with the mind. You can imagine a whole wide range of amazingly beautiful and terrific and awesome scenarios. You can't do any of them. You can suffer about them quite well, but you can't, the body can't go with the mind. So part of this cooperation is just recognizing that as being the case, and trying to, with a kind, skillful attitude, is just kind of guiding the mind back. It's like, no, just come on back. And the more it gets guided back, of course, the more it will gain momentum to come back. It will learn. You will learn, your mind will learn, oh yeah, don't do that. Oh yeah, that's dangerous. Oh yeah, that's destructive. Oh yeah, I can't do that anyway. Right. And it's kind of this, if you show up for the present time, the present moment, or you show up for yourself in this way enough of times, then kind of the practice starts to show up for you. And this is not easy stuff. This is not easy work. So there's also this degree of effort that's really conducive and can be an aspect in every single moment. Right? And it's just, again, what can I be with right now? Maybe it's just some breathing. Maybe it's the sound. I'm just kind of training to do that over and over and over again. So, if you want to, we're going to do some sitting now. If you need to maybe stand for a minute and just stretch, you can, if that feels good. Thank you. So just following the schema or the core teachings around mindfulness practice. Very basic. Almost so basic it seems strange, where the instruction is to come to an empty hut. So just allow yourself to arrive. So this is our empty hut for a few days, to a dwelling, a place to dwell, a place to be, a place to practice. And then being asked to just sort of sit in an upright way, not too rigid, not too slouched, somewhere in the middle. So just adjusting your body in a way that feels supportive. And then closing the eyes if that feels okay for you. There's really no general rule on this. I find it's helpful to close my eyes because one is that it eliminates the seeing door, so there's no data coming in through sights. The distraction and the judgment often associated with seeing kind of can go away. It can also give you the sense or the feeling that you're turning towards your direct experience, so you're going inward. And even before we start to move towards any form of technique, to just see if you can recognize or feel into your own sense of goodness for being here, an attitude of harmlessness. I didn't come here to give myself a hard time. Let go of that for now. Didn't come here to fight with my mind, to argue with the experience I'm having. Didn't come here to figure anything out or to fix anything. Is coming here to find and to recognize your own basic sense of goodness, value, ease. So just bringing that into your perception, your awareness, your heart. And then simply including into that sense of goodness, harmlessness, just breathing into that, breathing out of that, so that you're bringing some awareness to the breathing body. As you breathe into the body, breathe out of the body, to just see if you can access or begin to recognize your own desire to be free. See if you can just focus on that for just a few moments. This desire, this embodied desire to be free from fear and judgment, confusion. And then allowing that kind of filter or attitude to be at the base of practice. So we're starting there, this sense of metta, of goodness, friendly, kind. And just breathing in and breathing out so that your attention has something to be with that is available and reliable. So beginning to stabilize awareness and attention by allowing your attention to rest upon and to set a type of pace, a rhythm for practice. Breathing in, knowing that you're breathing in. That being known right now, that's all that needs to be known right now. The in-breath is like this. The full length. You don't need to go any faster than that. You begin to learn that the in-breath is always followed by the out-breath. So as you breathe out, and sustaining your attention into the full length of the out-breath, the whole thing. Knowing that you're breathing out, just letting that be known right now. Just seeing if you can practice in this simple way of recognizing that there is kindness, there is ease, acceptance, and there is breathing. And as we watch experience unfold, just recognizing when the object is not with breathing, it's with thinking or distraction of any kind, sense distraction and emotional distraction. And noticing if the attitude has shifted, if there's a sense of fear or judgment, craving. And so the foundation of practice is this constant adjusting of one's attitude back to a sense of ease, goodness, non-harming. It's okay to be here. And then adjusting the attention back to the object, breathing, the body. Sensation, the global sensation of a body sitting and breathing. So whatever's happening now, just come on back. Come back to something that's easy to be with. What can you be with right now? Be with that breathing, body, kindness. When you find that you've left, you've wandered, just recognize that with a friendly, cooperative attitude and just come on back slowly with a sense of ease. you find you're striving too hard at the object, just see if you can bring some ease. Adjust the attitude to be open and cooperative. If you feel a little spaced out or scattered, then bring a little bit more effort to your object, to breathing. Just allowing that to be known in each moment. Breathing in, knowing that you're breathing in. Breathing out, knowing that you're breathing out. Any moment that you recognize that there's tension or that you are scattered, just come back. Just come back and restart. Bringing a deep awareness into this breathing body, present time breathing body. Bringing an attitude of cooperation into the heart and mind, the kindness. It's okay. not putting any unnecessary pressure on the mind.